Today FM's Dermot and Dave. Dermot and Dave's Ask Me Anything on Today FM.
Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Nicola Tallant. I'm a crime reporter with the Sunday World. Today FM, Ask Me Anything.
Hey Nicola, dying to talk to you, and we've got, I suppose, one question more than any other question. And Andrea Harmon is one of the people who asked it on Facebook. She says, do you worry about your safety when you write about these criminals and their activity?
Well, it's just a job, really. So, you know, there's lots of people in jobs that are around organised crime and bring them close to these kind of people, you know, prison officers, guards, solicitors, council workers even. So I think it just treat it as a job and get on with it. Obviously, we take something serious that has to be.
Do they take it like that? Do they accept that it's just a job, or do they think it's a personal vendetta when you write someone or something about someone and identify them?
I think most of the time, they're kind of used to being written about. Most of the people who are in the paper are there because they've been convicted of something, or they're, you know, they have made themselves high profile in the criminal world, high profile enough to make it into the Sunday World. So they just kind of accept it. I'm sure it's annoying at times, but by and large, they just accept it as part of the job.
Do you ever worry that by giving these criminals nicknames and notoriety and fame, that they sort of feed off that, that it can be counterproductive sometimes?
Well, there's plenty of the younger criminals sometimes that do definitely want to be, you know, become celebrities in that world. But by and large, most of them don't want to be in the paper, and they're only there because they've been exposed. And working in the underworld and in gangland, it's not really a positive thing to be known and to find yourself in the edge of a paper. It's not very helpful, really. So, look, it's just reporting facts and what's happening. The nicknames are really a thing that are only there to protect ourselves, actually, because, you know, a lot of them are used when somebody is before the courts. And if we named somebody that was before the courts, a court case would collapse. Mm. So, you know, that wouldn't be a positive thing. And sometimes we give them nicknames because they don't have convictions, you know, and really until most of them get convictions, we can't name them. So that's just the way the media has to operate in this country, because there are laws there to protect people as well from being just named willy-nilly.
If they can't choose their own nicknames, wouldn't it be cooler though if instead of calling them like the General or the Viper, we call them the Fluffy Butterfly and the Unicorn Cloud, and they did really hate that?
They would, for sure. Look, most of them have the nicknames before they're ever named in the newspapers. I don't think I can think of one that has been nicknamed by journalists. Mostly they're nicknamed by their own friends and family.
Right.
And most of them are pretty apt.
Sarah in Carlow Town has an interesting question, which actually leads on to another question I wanted to ask you. But she says, how long does it take to build up a friendship with some of these guys? I suppose my question to you was going to be a general one about, like, do you need to build up a relationship or, as she says, a friendship with these guys in order to get your job done?
Yeah, well, I certainly wouldn't call it a friendship, but building contacts can take a long time. I mean, it's all about trust, really. Now, most people give me information because they have a reason to, and, you know, it'll be beneficial to them in some way. It's up to me to work out what that is and whether, you know, they're being genuine. And likewise, I suppose from their point of view, they have to know they can trust me. If they ask me not to do something or, you know, not to put them in danger in some way, I have to show them trust. And it just builds that way. But it's certainly not, I wouldn't describe it as friendships.
Do you ever have any kind of reluctant respect for someone who's maybe, you know, even though it's a life of crime, they've dragged themselves up out of a difficult situation and become very successful, even if it's a negative success?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I like many of them, actually, to be honest with you, because they're quite endearing people. And, you know, a lot of them definitely feel that they've come up. They don't feel that they've come up and they don't have choice. They've gone into crime. Others choose it and, you know, they go in for other reasons. But look, like every place in the world, like in the normal corporate world, you can like some people or you can totally dislike others, you know. It's pretty much the same. It's just a world with different rules, laws and punishments than our own.
It's Today FM, it's Dermot and Dave, and we are in the middle of an Ask Me Anything special with crime reporter Nicola Tallant. Nicola, were you interested in crime before you became a writer, or did you want to become a writer and then crime came along as an opportunity to write about?
Always interested in both. I wanted to be a journalist from when I was in school, and I was always interested in crime. And I think when I started, I was thrown in the deep end a little bit, and I was sent to cover a lot of very high-profile court cases, actually the Gilligan cases, when John Gilligan and his cohorts were brought before the Special Criminal Court, charged in connection with the murder of Veronica Guerin. They were sort of the first real introduction to crime I had, and I found it really fascinating. And it was quite exciting. You had to be searched on the way into the Special Criminal Court. In those days, there were snipers on the roof. And, you know, these guys were, before the court, they were major organised crime gang. And the speed at which they had become that was fascinating. And I think I got a bit, I just enjoyed it. I liked it. I got a bit hooked on it then.
The story, the tragic story of Veronica Guerin, is quite well known. Did that have any impact on you as you started off?
Well, it had an impact on lots of things. And, you know, I was only young going into it, I suppose, but it immediately, what happened was you had the Criminal Assets Bureau set up, and I think there was a real crackdown on organised crime after that has continued to this day. And, you know, sometimes over the years, in the past few years, that hasn't been successful for a period of time. But actually, you know, we're very serious about organised crime in this country, and I think that is always remembered. It's always there in the ether, the fact that these guys took on, you know, because Veronica Guerin obviously was a human being, a mother who was horrifically murdered. But her murder was also when a crime gang took on the state, and they decided that they were bigger than the state. And I think that's always there in the background with everything we do in this country when we fight organised crime.
How bad has the impact of COVID been, do you think? Most of our police are out on checkpoints at the moment, and they would much prefer to be doing the jobs that they were hired to do. Is it having a negative impact in terms of letting crime run a bit more rampant?
It's been quite surprising because in the beginning, because of all the border closures and, you know, transportation problems and everything, it was presumed that there would be a decrease in the use of the likes of cocaine, but actually there hasn't been, which shows ultimately the political problems that are in place in the areas that are producing it. But what's happened is I actually really thought there was going to be a drop in cocaine use but, you know, then again, that was probably stupid because there hasn't been a drop in alcohol use. So people are simply just using cocaine at home now. They're just not, you know, the pubs aren't open, the clubs aren't open. They're still going to use it, obviously. But what it has done is it's given some opportunities for guards because there's less cover out there on the streets. There's less people moving around. There is Brexit has come in now, and obviously you can see all those border problems getting products to and from Ireland. And that has caused big problems for them moving goods in and money out because that's the way it goes. And you've seen a lot of, in recent months, massive seizures of cash wrapped and being transported around the country, and also big seizures of drugs because they're, you know, the transport network has just simply changed for them. I mean, even from point of view, if you're in town and certain areas of town, you can see the drug dealing going on in the street because there's less cover from pedestrians there. And exactly the same thing is happening the whole way up the line. There's less cover on the roads. The checkpoints are obviously causing problems. Lots of opportunities there for the guards. But at the same time, crime and criminals are very malleable. They change very quickly. They change their routines, their modus operandi. They can change quicker than the rest of us.
You'd wonder about Brexit too and the delays. Is it the same across the board? Like, I'm at home complaining that I ordered a pair of hiking boots like 3 weeks ago and I haven't seen them. Somewhere else in Dublin, there's a crime lord go, bloody hell, that kilo of heroin I ordered, it's taken weeks to get her. I'll probably have to pay VAT on it too when it arrives. Nicola Tallant, crime journalist, thanks so much for chatting to us today. Fascinating stuff.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Ask me. Dermot and Dave's Ask Me Anything on Today FM. Dermot and Dave, listen live on air from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.